Tonight, we are in Colossians chapter 4. Now, in Colossians chapter 4, what you find is the apostle proceeds with the duty of master to their servants. Justice is required of them. Because in verse number 1, he says, "Master, give unto your servants that which is just and equal." In the ancient world, slaves were treated as property, and they had little to no rights. There were many slave uprisings, but the only outcome was the killing of the slaves and matters made worse for future slaves. So here Paul is addressing the morality of the treatment of them and not the morality of having them. So Paul wanted to fix the problem, but he could not. So he called slaves and the slave owners and everyone else to a higher standard, so that this hideous situation could be livable until slavery was abolished. So Paul is also reinforcing what he stated in his letter to Philemon that may also have been set alongside this letter to Colossians. You remember in Philemon he talks about Philemon, and he talks about the slaves there in Philemon. You go ahead and Onesimus, that was one of his slaves. So you go back and read that in Philemon. And so when you look at verse 1, he gives instructions to masters. So Paul continues to giving instructions about the various relationships. You remember he talked about the parent and the children. He talked about the husband and the wife relationship. And now he is focusing on masters. Now, this was the husband or a hired worker who protected an estate or a farm. Today you would say employer or a businessman or managers or supervisors. And so masters, he's getting them to understand that they should treat their servants justly and fairly. In other words, they should treat their servants like people and not like property. Brutal treatment in the form of abuse, verbal or physical, was not allowed. And so today, you know, employer, businessmen, managers, supervisors, they ought to treat people like people. And so there shouldn't be abuse. There shouldn't be verbal or physical. That ought not be allowed. And so he is to be just. He is to be fair. Even today, the managers, the supervisors, employees ought to be just and fair in treatment and wages and work assignments and production and goals, expectations and demands and promotions. And so the point of all of this is to treat people as you want to be treated, because Paul is trying to get them to understand that your situation can easily change, and you could be the slave, and your slave could be your master. And that could happen through the wars that was going on, through the uprising that was going on. But it's good to know today that our master, our overseer, is Christ. When you have time, read John chapter 10, verse 1 through verse number 18. John chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 18. And so he goes on and he says in verse 1, he says, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. You who are a master of others, you have a master yourself and are accountable to the one above you. We have to understand that the Lord God sees everything management does, and he holds the management accountable for every act. So it's good to know that God is holding not only man, but God holds all of us accountable in how we treat one another, how we talk to one another. And so we have to be careful how we do that, because we got to answer one day to Almighty God. So when you get to verse number 2, now after he has dealt with this relationship, now he moves to verse 2 through 6, because what this passage, verse 2 through 6, covers, it covers two of the most important subjects for the believers, that of his prayer life and his witness. His prayer life and his witness. Now, the general idea of verse 2 through verse 6 is, be a person who is devoted to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So distractions and past or future hurts and problems do not consume you. Dedicate yourself to prayer and be alert. Think and be aware of your situation and opportunities, so you can be your best for his highest in all situations. But above all, this idea is to be appreciative to God and others. You have to allow a sense of gratitude for Christ fuel, mold, and encompass you, so the days of your life goes well. Because in this way, you can pray for others. You can be sensitive. You can be kind. You can be open to the wondrous prospects and plans that God has for you and I. So when you look at verse 2 through verse 6 is what we're going to kind of look at tonight, because verse 7 through verse 18 takes us in another direction, and we're going to be looking at that next time. But when you look at verse 2 through 6, the context, and you look at the background of this, what this passage is about is what we do with the call, the gifts, the resources and opportunities at our disposal. Paul was concerned that this church would be ingrown and unconcerned about other churches or personal opportunities to spread the gospel. So thus he employs them to keep him in prayer and be aware of open doors, to let people know about the gospel. We need to be praying not only for each other, but we need to be praying for the congregation and praying for opportunities for doors to be open to let people know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this all starts with our obedience, our willingness to do as we believe and to pray for open doors and the ability to be used. So this passage is set in the context of a second set of aspects which we are to follow. What we are to put on, you know, we talked about that in our last chapter. We talked about what we have to put on and what we have to put off and what blocks us from our growth in Him and our character towards others. This is a laundry list of desires that can easily become who we are and distract us from our call. Since we are in Christ, we are to live in response to what He has done for us. Not out of obligation, but out of gratitude. We ought to be thankful for what He has done for us. And because what He has done for us, in response, we ought to be doing all that we can for Him. So in verse 2, what we find here is four important instructions in verse 2 and 3 that's given. The first duty of the believer is to pray and continue in prayer. Pray and continue in prayer. Now, the word continue means to be in constant and unbroken prayer. To be in constant and unbroken prayer. To be in constant and unbroken fellowship and communion with God. Keep up your constant time of prayer without being diverted from it by other things. What it means is, it means never face a moment when we are not in prayer. Keep your heart close to the duty, because this is the essential tool to knowing God and growing in Him. Is continue steadfastly in prayer. Well, the question comes then, how is this possible? When we have so many duties and affairs and things that demands our attention. Well, what the scripture means is this. Number one, what you and I have to do is we got to begin to discipline ourselves in prayer. So develop an attitude of prayer. Develop an attitude of prayer. Walk in a spirit of prayer. Take a mental break from your work or whatever you are involved in and spend a moment in prayer. Pray always when our minds are not on some duty or being distracted. Arise early and pray before daily activities begin. and then pray before going to bed. Spend an extended time in prayer, thanking God for all he has done for you throughout that day. But here's the thing. In all honesty, the vast majority of us waste minute by minute, every hour, in useless daydreaming and wandering thoughts on negative things, wasting precious time that could be spent in prayer. If we would learn to captivate these minutes for prayer, then we would discover what it is to walk and live in prayer. So the first thing he says, continue in prayer. Then he says in verse 2, and watch. Watch in prayer. The word watch means to stay awake, be alert, be active, concentrate. It means to fight against distractions, drowsiness, wandering thoughts, useless daydreaming. It means to discipline our minds and control our thoughts in prayer. Because this is a problem that afflicts every believer sometimes. Overworked, tiredness, pressure, strain, it can make it very difficult to concentrate in prayer. So this is the very reason Paul stresses the need to watch in prayer. Then he says, in the same with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. A solemn acknowledgement of the mercies received. Thanksgiving must have a part in every prayer. Let me say that again. Thanksgiving must have a part in every prayer. When someone does something for us, we thank that person. The one person who has done more for us than anyone else is God. Therefore, we are to thank him. In fact, God continues to bless us. God continues to help us. His hands is constantly upon our lives, looking after us, caring for us. Our praise should be lifted up to him all through the days as we go about our daily affairs. We should never forget his son. Never forget his son that took our sins upon himself and bore the judgment and punishment of them for us. And this should continually fill our hearts with thanksgiving and with praise. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. So in verse 3, he says, now, verse 2, continue in prayer. Watch in prayer. Pray with thanksgiving. And then in verse 3, he says, with all praying also for us. Pray for others, in particular for their ministry. The people must pray particularly for their minister, for their leaders, and bear them upon their hearts at all times at the throne of grace. Now you have to remember, Paul was in prison. And you have to also understand that while he's in prison, you note that for which he requested prayer. He says, first of all, praying for us. Pray for him. Why? Now he tells us the request that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. First of all, he says, open to us a door. This means the opportunity and the freedom of movement. It refers to the willingness to be alert and take advantage with good character the occasions of relational connections and ministry opportunities. It is to be discerning with our time, our talent and resources as an offering to God and to use for others. In other words, it is a choice for us to make rather than a command. But as mature Christians, we ought to do so because of what Christ did for us, and wanting the same in the lives of others. We ought to want others to know that the same God, what he has done for me, he can do for you. And so he says, praying for us, that God will open unto us a door. Watch what he says, of utterance. Now, when you look at this, it's meaning the word is God, our God rings. The gospel, the good news of Christ, who he is and what he has done for you and for me. This means the redemption that gave us salvation and the kingdom of God paid for by the work of Jesus Christ, preached by the apostles, stated in the Bible that Jesus Christ suffered, then died as a sacrifice for our sins. He died for us and was buried. He then rose again to prove his divinity and power, giving us victory over sin and death. The gospel is good news because it is the news of forgiveness of our sins through a free and unearned gift of God who reconciles us to him. We have no means to earn it by our work, beliefs, or self-improvement. But it's only by Christ's accomplishment and his work. And this is the message that we need to tell this dying world. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about what God done, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so he says that you not only open up to us a door of utterance, but he says to speak, meaning to speak as a messenger of gladness, to proclaim the good news. This shows a passion for our faith and the conviction to know our Lord and do as he modeled and taught. We declare Christ in our lives as individuals and decree him in unity as a local congregation. And so this comes from our work, Lord's work, that gives us an inner connection of word and spirit. And so his command that we obey, the promises that we can trust and will one day, we'll one day have. And so we ought to proclaim, we ought to speak. He says, speak what? He says, the mystery of Christ. The more we grow, the more we mature. And as we grow, we understand much more. Christ is the light, and he gives us the enlightenment. And then Paul says, again in verse 3, for which I am also in bonds or in prison. Sharing Christ is not a forced requirement for us to do, but rather it is an obligation we should desire to do, no matter what situation we are in. Let me repeat that. Sharing Christ is not a forced requirement for us to do. We don't have to. But as Christians, knowing what Christ has done for us, knowing what God has done for us, then it's an obligation that we should desire. We ought to want to do it. No matter whether we are up or down, whether we are in or out, we ought to want to do it because of what he has done for us. Paul was in prison as he prayed for others and as he shared the word. Then in verse 4, he says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He had been particular in telling them what he prayed for on their behalf. You remember back in chapter 1. But here he tells them particularly what he would have them to pray for on his behalf, that God would give them again a door of utterance, that they may speak as they ought to speak. Then he said in verse 5, and we're going to stop here and we'll pick back up next week, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom. Be careful in all your converse with them. Be wise. We are to recognize the opportunities and open doors and help and equip one another for the mission of the gospel. This is what we call evangelism. It always needs to be done with patience, in his fruit, and with tact. He says toward them that are without. I will pick this up because there's a lot I want to say on this. So put a marker on verse 5. And then we're going to continue in Colossians chapter 4 with verse 5 through as we go on. Because in Colossians verse 7 through 18, he deals with one's faithful service to Christ. In other words, the idea of verse 7 through 18 that we're going to cover is to be a person who loves and serves, who exhibits appreciation and faith and desire to do what it takes to put it into action. And when you get through reading, the next book we'll probably be going into, if you want to get a head start, we'll be looking at the book of Philippians. Once we finish Colossians, we'll be looking at the book of Philippians. So we're going to stop at this time, and we'll be opening up for prayer requests.